Well, they put it that way because that's been a debate in Reform circles forever. Some, I think it would be true to say John Owen, believed that not all infants who died in infancy were elect. He wouldn't say of any infant who died it wasn't elect, because he wouldn't know that. But this was an attempt to emphasize that Christian parents whose infants died should take confidence in their covenant with God that their infants are elect. Personally, I believe, not everybody agrees with me here, but I believe that all infants dying in infancy are elect. And they're covered by that statement. I don't believe that on sentimental grounds. I don't believe it because poor little children are innocent. Because poor little children are born sinners just the same as you or I were. And God is a God of infinite holiness, and he doesn't owe that infant any more than he owes anybody else. So it's not merely in sentimental grounds. Nor is it in the grounds where they never heard the gospel, because that's true of millions of heathens who live and die and never hear the gospel. But the scriptures have a couple of statements, and I know these statements are not written to this point directly, but I think there are such statements that they cover it. For example, where there is no law, sin is not imputed. Now, where is there no law? Now, I know the statement was given to show that the law is universal over the whole world. But where is there no law? Is there any place on God's earth where there is no law? Where there is no such thing as the exercise of conscience? I think that you have that in infants. I think you also have it in many lunatics. Not all of diminished responsibility. I've known some of the clearest cases of conversion were of diminished responsibility. But they knew enough to know I'm a sinner and I need to be saved, and they came to Christ. And that would tell me if they had refused Christ, their diminished responsibility would not be any plea at the judgment bar of God. But where there is no law, sin is not imputed. But where sin is the non-imputation of sin, if you compare Romans 4 with Psalm 32, the non-imputation of sin is another way of describing the positive imputation of the righteousness of Christ. Psalm 32, his sin is not imputed. When Paul quotes that in Romans 4, the righteousness of Christ is imputed. I believe, therefore, that there is good biblical ground for taking that all infants who die in infancy are covered by the blood of Christ as an act of grace, and that God takes them in infancy because they are his. That leads to an explanation of a statement that always raises not a storm of protest but a storm of questions every time I make it, wherever I make it. And I've made it in many places, and there's never been one place that hasn't had the same reaction. They think I'm a heretic because I'm running in the face of what they think is the teaching of Scripture. But I say, there will be more people in heaven than in hell. And they say, do you not believe what we read in Matthew 7? Few there be that find it. Certainly I believe that. That's speaking of adults, obviously. Talking about people walking the path of life, one of the two ways, and entering in. And in this day and age, few there are who find it. But don't stretch that to what it doesn't talk about. In all things, Christ will have the preeminence, even in those who go to heaven. I'm told about heaven that there will be an innumerable multitude which no man can number. I'm certainly never told that about hell. That may be true, but I'm not told it. And certainly the emphasis is on the multitude in heaven. I get a wee bit sick listening to people, and Calvinists sometimes are the worst of them, when they think, drawn the lines of election so rigidly that heaven's going to be the great vacant place and hell's going to be packed to capacity. And I just don't find any warrant for that in Scripture. I believe all those infants. Now, if you take all the infants in the world, the history of the world who've died, remember that until the late 1800s, the majority of children died in infancy, even in the West. The mortality rate among children worldwide was just incredible until fairly recent times. That's one reason there'll be more in heaven. Now, I will not get into the other part. If you are really Orthodox and you believe in the millennial reign of Christ, then you've got 1,000 years of the greatest ingathering. You talk about evangelism explosion. Well, it'll feel like an evangelism pop gun in comparison to a huge big bang when God moves and for 1,000 years the earth produces the fullness of its fruit. That's another story, however. I believe they're all elect if they die in infancy.
So that includes babies that die even before they're born?
Yep.
Ones that don't have the
Yep. And it's a. I was asked by the parent of no longer a baby, but one born very, very severely handicapped, the result of German measles when he was 3 months old in his mother's womb. Nothing really there to attack, but the parts of the brain almost all the brain, but can't walk, can't talk, can barely sit up, no motor skills, very few motor skills anyway. Obviously abstract concepts, etc., are, how do you even communicate them? Very, very difficult. She asked me, why would God do this? If God wanted to punish me, why didn't he punish me instead of punishing my child? You can understand how especially somebody who's not saved would think like that. My answer was, I don't know. I can't read the secret purpose of God. But let me put it to you this way. You have 4 children. I have, at this time, though one has since been saved, but at this time, I have no assurance I will see any of those other 3 in heaven. And if you don't repent, and if they follow you, they will never be in heaven. But this one that you're blaming God for, I will see in heaven, perfect and made like unto the glorious body of Christ. This world to you is everything, and these few years are everything. But in comparison to eternity, they're not even like one grain of sand compared to all the ocean shores of the world. And he will be in heaven forever. That's my focus. I can't tell you all the reasons, but I do rejoice that God imputes to him the righteousness of Christ. So it's not a vain or foolish little theory. It's a wonderful thing when you see a little, and I've had to be at funerals where these little white coffins are carried and placed in the earth. It's a great heartbreak, but it's a great thing to know what David said concerning his child, that I can go to him. That day is coming when I will be with him, because we'll both be with Christ.